This is the Cube Talk America Radio Network.
I understand some people are experiencing technical difficulties. For some reason, our the elections have all just gone to hell. Everything's so screwing us up. Now, we're broadcasting from here. Apparently, there's some sort of a internet issue with the streaming outbound, but we are recording the show live. It will be up on the old interwebs, just like it should be. Anywho, we are in the middle of our election coverage show where we're distracted heavily by a large screen TV that's in the studio with us. I will give you the... What are you two doing?
Sign language. The 17 words that we know between the two of us.
Here's our overhead shot of the studio.
I've got cheese and ambulance.
You can see the TV in the corner of the room.
Lesbian.
So we're very distracted by that.
Here.
We've already gone through our headlines. We're giving some results of the...
Water.
Marnie and they're all apparently
deaf.
Become deaf.
Deaf.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we're trying to sign for the people that can see us but can't hear us.
Let's give Al Perkins a chance to talk because he really ever
he never gets it on here.
Sorry about that, Al.
So Doug says, as we're reading here, that MSNBC reports House Democrats to request Trump tax returns. So like I said,
tomorrow.
Hopefully,
it's about to get dirty up in this bitch.
Yeah, it's time to start.
Well, he's already said he doesn't care.
Well, sure, because
he
he's preempting.
That last week, didn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
No, I don't care.
Because he can never be wrong. He has to.
Yeah.
He has to get ahead of that and always be. It's his idea.
Nope.
We've all worked for somebody like that. We've all dated somebody like that.
Nope.
I am somebody like that.
I was going to say there are times where I am that person.
Go ahead, spit it out. It's okay.
Nope, I'm good.
So,
entertainment. Hi.
So hi. We'll start with the Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm. Is it the Julia Roberts
the
one?
The Julia Roberts Homecoming, which I guess
so
was a podcast.
So good.
Interesting.
I will tell you, they're very short episodes.
Uh-huh.
Really long credits at the end. Mm-hmm. Each episode
like
is only
minutes?
Like 32, 33 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But a solid 6.5 minutes of that is credits.
That's perfect.
And it's almost like, does it... I sat there watching, like, does this lead into...
There are...
Like...
And it's like, the whatever the last shot is, it's long... Mm-hmm. And lingering for some reason. And you're just kind of like, what?
Is it over?
What?
Did we do it? Did we win?
No.
Is a car coming back? And there's one episode where you're expecting the guy from the Department of Justice to like drive back up and like knock on the door. Nope, just some delivery guys show up across the street.
No.
There's some really weird moments. It is a slow burn. This is a grown up. It's a grown-up show.
I'm into that.
This is not...
Allegedly, I'm a grown-up.
This is not being thrown at you. There's no obvious point
to
the first couple episodes. You really have to wonder, what are we doing here? What is the point to this?
Right.
You're really sure that Julia Roberts is with the wrong guy in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Because whoever that dick is, he gots to go.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
And you're kind of worried that that relationship is going to play a role and you just seriously don't like him.
Mm-hmm.
Which he's a likable actor. He was Dermot Mulroney. He was her co-star in...
Oh, yeah, I like him.
In My Best Friend's Wedding.
Yeah.
He was the best friend
from
the title. But wow, when that thing, slow burn, I was under the impression it was 8 episodes, and I was really feeling like, we are not going to tie this up. And then I realized that because of the way that Amazon Prime sets up his stuff, there was 2 more episodes on the next page. I have to tell you, well worth the time. That one, when that show bites you, when it finally, like, when you finally get an idea of where that show is going, and the fucked up government conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is this bullshit? It's really well done and really, really plays into the politics of today of like being suspicious of the government and what is the suspiciousness of drug manufacturers. Like, there's so many things that it just a laser sharp focus on that you thought. How do they pull that together? Because an episode ago, I was like, what the fuck are these people doing?
All right.
Yeah. And I love Julia Roberts in it.
Very ambiguous. And you, because you don't know, you just never know what side she's on.
Yeah.
That doesn't change.
But I also love the, from a different, take the show out of it and how fucking petty people are, just in general. and that people were very much, you know, she looks hideous. She looks so ugly. I can't believe that she's in, you know, not wearing any makeup and not this. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, for real, like, where does that even come from? Watch the performance.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
It's an absolutely terrific performance from her.
And she's an exec?
Yes, it's from her her and her sister's production company called Red Om. Okay. But based on this podcast that had Catherine Keener and Ross, I was going to call him David Ross, but David Schwimmer, who played Ross as the executive for the company. And so the podcast was done like an old-timey radio show.
I love like old-timey serialized radio shows.
25 minutes. And from what I heard from people, like gasp-inducing, like people were talking about like waiting for the next episode, even though they weren't really cliffhangers. You just wanted to know, like, where was
this going?
And so I guess this is a recent thing, like from the podcast was maybe last year, like early 2017. Yeah. So we have this quick turnaround and more seasons planned. And I guess there's a little room for trying to figure out, like, mm-hmm. how could they do a second season?
All right.
But terrific.
Yeah.
And really a very underplayed performance from her. Like, they play it so, how do I want to say this? So vaguely that you really don't know who knows what. Like, who is who's the good guy? Who's the bad guy? Who's been in on this since the beginning?
Right.
Huh? Who's truly shocked by the conspiracy? What do you do with someone who's fixed but broken? Like, just very, very well done. So, very interesting. Hats off to Amazon Prime for, like, something very unambiguous. Or something very ambiguous. Like, like you really, there was no
true hero in that. Well, because when I first sat down, because it's... To be honest with you, it's Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm intrigued. I want to see.
Yeah.
I haven't had the time, but it's been like showing it to me on my landing screen. And I'm like, ooh, I should do that.
Right. And when I
need to put that TV in the garage so I can watch more stuff.
Right. When I saw Dermot Mulroney, excuse me.
Because who doesn't love him?
I absolutely love him.
Adorable.
And when I saw that he was in it, I was like, because you know, you get that picture. You're like, wait a minute, but this isn't going to work because I am picturing my best friend's wedding.
Right, right.
And then I just was not. Mm. I mean, like, and it's not because it's way, such a powerful role that he played. It just, you go, oh, yeah, no, that's not them.
Yeah. It really isn't. And she's not busy being Julia Roberts. Like, she's not, there's no scenery chewing from her. Sissy Spacek is a little wasted, I have to say.
Right,
hopefully
I agree.
Season 2 has more for her to do.
Right.
The frustrated government worker from the DOJ is a terrific, like, right out of Fargo part.
What is he from? I agree. That's he what was this just, reminds me of.
He was just in First Man. That was his latest role. He was one of the NASA people in First Man. But he is just, like, the bumbling detective in Fargo. So, it really, I recommend it. Just don't go in expecting, like, you know.
I agree. But
very
what else
subtle.
Has he been in something else? I just didn't know if you knew. But that
I just recently saw him in First Man, and it was like twice in a row that I was like, okay.
All right. Because I enjoy him.
Like, turns out I like the wasabi peas. Very delicious. Cannot be consumed while talking.
Hard to talk,
because
sure.
that dust keeps trying to kill me. So we're going to put a lid on that and save him for quiet time.
Two things. Don't die.
Yeah.
Second of all, never bring those again.
Yeah, thought I was going to, and put them away.
McSally barely leading cinema right now.
Also,
according to our villainess.
I know. I'm watching ABC 15's website.
Hashtag thanks Obama.
Hashtag listen Green Party.
Oh.
And
you know what?
30 motherfucking thousand people so far that have voted for Angela Green.
Agreed.
And
fuck
I don't get it.
Listen, I'm all for. I'm all for building new parties.
Yeah.
Yes. We need to get rid of or diversify or do something about the political parties that we have.
Sure.
I agree. Sure. And I can probably climb aboard most of the Green Party platform. Absolutely. But you know where I don't see you motherfuckers?
There's more, by the way. But
in all of the other races.
Right.
You can't just go for the big ticket ones. Yeah. You got to start from the bottom up.
You need to be online, Inspector.
You got to work in the mailroom.
Right.
God damn it.
I agree.
These fucking people. And the Green Party candidate, to her credit, tried to drop out like 4 days ago. I mean, or did officially drop out or whatever.
Her name was Angela Green.
Rebecca Winninger had a whole thing about that and was vaguely, like, barely veiled. I was like, wait, who's she talking about? Now I know.
And if you watch all these things, every time Steve Kornacki, like, puts something over and you see the 2016 things, the difference between, like, what Hillary got was always the third-party candidate.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's what made the math her up. So, good times, but again, you need to start off, run for mayor.
Be a fucking dog catcher first.
You can I'll give you mayor. You can go higher.
Sure.
Be mayor.
State House, City Council.
State House, perfect place.
Yeah, I scrolled all the way down.
Yeah.
There are 4 Green Party candidates that ran for anything State House, or 5. Like, you gotta get in on the ground floor. Like, stop fucking up the national stuff.
Yeah, stop fucking it up.
Ugh. It's like attention-seeking behavior. Like,
have a base.
But to me, it's just like attention-seeking behavior. Like, you're right. Go out and try to build this base up, rather than be like, ha-ha-ha. Look what I'm going to do. I got 3,000 people like me.
Yeah.
Oh, also, look, you lost by 3,000 people.
Also, libertarians, where the hell did you people go?
Right.
Why aren't you sucking up some fucking Republicans?
Republican votes, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Republicans don't believe it. They never really did, and now they really don't.
In libertarian stuff?
Yeah, they really didn't believe in libertarian stuff, because they had to keep
their
hands.
Look at this.
What am I looking at?
He's up.
See, he's been up. He's losing the up.
Oh, I thought he was.
He's getting less up as time goes
on.
No, he's getting less up as time goes on.
No, this is it's getting these same day voters are killing me because they're killing my buzz in every single election. So then we get to Beautiful Boy with Steve Carell, who I haven't seen this Marijuan movie, but that looks Marijuan, whatever the hell it's called, looks terrific.
I don't know.
Love
that
the cast. It's the guy with the PTSD that has to build. He builds the community out of dolls and makes the art to express his pain.
Oh, yes. That's Steve Carell?
That's Steve Carell.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, I did see an ad for that.
So,
Beautiful Boy. Oh, wow. Concedes. God, damn it.
Oh.
Well, there you go. Well, I mean, it was a long shot, but there you go.
And he came out of nowhere. Like, all of a sudden, he is on the national stage.
We're watching Andrew Gillum in Florida concede. Yeah. For those of you that can't see our television.
But I'm very
excited. Also, I think you're
going to see
him
beautiful wife?
Oh, yeah.
Moving up in... Yeah.
Are either one of those women his beautiful wife? Because they're both gorgeous.
I bet... yeah, who's the gentleman standing behind him?
That's his beautiful wife.
No. I'm going to bet that the young lady in the white
that
shirt
they go together.
Is... Yeah.
Oh, maybe his. I don't know if they run with lieutenant governors.
I don't know.
Oh, I didn't think about that either. I never heard that.
Yeah, some states will run with lieutenant governor. Some run their lieutenant governor separately. We don't have a lieutenant governor. Beautiful Boy. Timothy Chalamet from last year's fabulous Call Me By Your Name. And he was in Lady Bird, which everyone forgets that he was in 2 Oscar-nominated movies. In a terrific performance. It's based on 2 books, so I will give away the ending that both lead characters wrote books, so if that helps, you know how it ends.
Okay.
The son's book was called Tweaker, and the father's book was called Beautiful Boy, about his son's battle with addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And it is tough.
Is it?
I
love her.
Maura Tierney is his stepmom. One of my favorite actresses. I've always loved her. She was on the show about the radio station years and years ago that I loved with
Phil.
You're on Talk Radio.
She was on Talk Radio with Phil Hartman and
News Radio.
News Radio.
I'm sorry.
News Radio.
Which character was she? Who was she on that show?
She was the lead female.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. The dark-haired gal.
Yeah.
But it was such a different
handles
position,
comedy and drama, recent breast cancer survivor.
Yeah.
Oh, my. All right.
Just wonderful in a role that is slightly underwritten, but she rises to the occasion and has a scene that will absolutely break your heart of a frustrated chase scene where you know what she's after and you know she can't. It can't happen. Like it really will break your heart. Terrific acting all around. A tough subject about addiction and like very realistic about. There's nothing has to go all that bad. There doesn't have to be a bad day. They're just addicts, and sometimes they just make
bad choices.
Shitty life choices, and they're under the thumb of something that they can't necessarily get on top of. But really well done from beginning to end. It is a tough movie. Starts a little like in the, to me it started like in the middle of a sentence. I felt like we're already like midway through the drama, and there's a lot of flashbacks and stuff, but really well done. And I really had a hard time with just the thought, there's people that I've like dated or liked that I had a hard time letting go of, and to have someone have to let go of a child. How do you ever just say, that's it?
Mm-hmm.
It's enough. Like, that's tough.
Well, when you, and if you switch that.
Start young and put them on the curb. That's all I'm saying.
If
you switch that, that was in a lot of ways what it was coming down to with my mom.
Yeah.
You know, in the reverse kind of role, but it was like, I have to be done.
Can't bail you out anymore. Can't give you any more money. Can't ruin any more lives.
All of the things. Yeah.
And it's very, very... It was a really tough watch, I have to say it. It really did kind of, hurt my heart to watch it quite a bit.
And that Timothy Chalamet, you love him.
And you go in, kind of rooting for him. He was the good guy in Lady Bird. He's the young lover in Call Me By Your Name. And, you're kind of in love with him. And really plays it well, and somehow managed to lose 25 pounds to do this movie.
How do people do that?
I didn't even know he had 25 pounds to spare. The kid's a rail.
Right.
How do we know this is the thinner version?
No, right.
I'm going to see if I die by doing these. I'm going to try and see what happens.
It's just talking with it. If you're quiet, they're fine. It's just if you try to.
Clearly, I'll make it through this show.
Yeah, there you go.
So, this Marwyn that you're talking about is like a animated?
It's kind of. He makes these figurines into stories to tell the story of his PTSD.
Of his trauma.
So sometimes the dolls come to life and act out the story of his battle against PTSD, which ties in nicely with Homecoming.
Sure.
And,
that's very interesting. Yeah,
I thought one of the movies that you were going to mention, and if you haven't got to it, my apologies for stepping on it.
I've only talked about one.
Boy Erased.
Has not come out yet. We're still a week away from Boy Erased.
I didn't realize what that was about until I saw something caught my eye and I watched an entire trailer of it. And I was like,
what is it?
Homo Nomo Camp.
Yes. It's Timothy Chalamet's new partner in acting. Lance.
I'm almost there.
I can't think of what Lance's last name. No, but he is.
Hashtag Team Lance.
He was also in Lady Bird last year. He's the other young guy in Lady Bird, and he was Oscar nominated for Manchester by the Sea.
You mean Lucas?
Yeah, Lucas. What's
Hedges?
His name? Lucas Hedges. So these two are on the star making careers right now.
Okay.
They both have two Oscar nominated films under their belts. They both have star making turns. Both Oscar nominated in their own movies, and
that's this kid.
Yes, that's the kid from Man. Clearly, you've not seen Manchester by the Sea.
I haven't yet.
Haven't enjoyed that cry.
I haven't. I have that one saved, but that's what I kept hearing from people, and I'm like,
I do like to cry on my TV.
Suggest you catch that movie? One of the most beautifully acted movies, and again, understated performances.
Michelle Williams.
And has probably the saddest scene of any movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And Casey Affleck in his Oscar-winning turn. She was Oscar-nominated. Mm-hmm. He was Oscar-nominated. In a kid that nobody can get their shit together and raise. Okay. This kid is just alone on an island waiting for one person in his life to get in charge of their own life and just help him live.
Yeah.
And there's no one. And he's just constantly... left alone, and it is probably the saddest movie I've ever seen. That took a while. That was one of those movies where everybody in the theater was kind of slumped over, waiting for
going on.
Please,
sure.
Just let it end.
There was after Michelle Williams scene, there were people choking and coughing,
God.
Crying. Yeah, it's brutal. Just be ready. Beautifully performed. So, anyways,
I'm glad that I have it at home.
Yes, I would never go see that in movie theater again because. Well, I'll tell you about this, how I cried at this next one. So I went and saw The Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
which is getting some reviews for kind of whitewashing
the gay stuff.
No, and it doesn't. Not even a little bit.
Okay.
It kind of, they're saying it kind of whitewashes Freddie Mercury's story. It doesn't. It's the story of Queen. Like, it's the story of
It's not just Freddie.
Well, it's not just Freddie Mercury.
So Freddie Mercury is the lead singer, so he gets a little bit more attention. But it's more to do with, like, it gives a little bit more credit to what brilliant musicians they are. And kind of keeps bringing it home to, it wasn't just this one singer-songwriter that was carrying them. It was the contributions from all of them that make those songs so intense, and that there was nobody else in the studio but the four of them for Bohemian Rhapsody. Every single thing on that record, including the opera parts, are the is not Freddie Mercury all by himself.
No, right, it's all,
that's all of them singing and harmonizing and overdubbing without synthesizers and like overdubbing guitars, doing the harmony on top of harmony on top of harmony on top of harmony, and how many times they had to like overdub tracks to get the sound they wanted. So it really has a lot to do with the whole band. So if they focused just on Freddie Mercury, then you wouldn't understand that all of them contributed.
Sure.
They do some. They do a little bit of weirdness, to me at least. There was a tiny bit of weirdness on the timeline of We Are the Champions, We Will Rock You. I just didn't see any dramatic reason to make that sound like that happened later in their career instead of like... But I don't know if you just they just needed to spread it out because it's not believable that they would make like three or four big giant like, hits
giant
like right in
songs,
a row.
Right.
Or that like barely a year would have passed. So for some reason they make it sound like We Are the Champions, We Will Rock You happens a little later in the career instead of like smack dab in the middle. And that part was kind of like, it's a little late for that. You've already got like the entire world going.
right.
You know what I mean? Like, and like the argument about disco gets a big thing. Like, what do they do with this song? And they don't bring up, is that you or me? They don't bring up Michael Jackson hearing, Another One Bites the Dust and saying to them, that's the single. Like, they don't bring that up. That took influence because they weren't sure what to do with that song because it was funky.
Right.
None of them wanted to do it. But Freddie Mercury was like, I kind of want a club song. But he didn't write that song.
He didn't?
He didn't write that song.
Okay.
That's what I mean. So there's so many other contributions. Like, We Will Rock You wasn't written by Freddie Mercury. He wrote We Are the Champions.
Okay.
So they're a solid band. So you need all of their story, really. And you get to see, like, the funny executive that was like, I don't want any part of this. And they're like, this is what we're doing.
Right.
Like, Bohemian Rhapsody is the record. It's what we've been kind of going for. It's the direction we're going. No one knows who you are outside of the industry. People know who we are.
Mm-hmm.
They've had one hit. They were broke. They put it all on the line, and they said, this is it. And they went to a DJ, and they said, this stupid song is the A-side to the single, but flip it over, the B-side's kind of fun. And it wasn't a record that you had to turn over. Like American Pie, you had to flip over in the middle.
Right.
That was on two sides of 145. Bohemian Rhapsody was all on one side of a thing, and the other thing was called I'm in Love with My Car, or something Marnie would report on. So
that's correct.
Right. So there's that weirdness, and then the fighting about the fact that they had to split the royalties, because the person on the B-side gets half the royalties for the single.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in Love with My Car, the guy that wrote that, got just as much money as Bohemian Rhapsody. No one bought that song for that single song, I'm in Love with My Car. They bought it for that. So there's a little bit of the infighting, but a little bit of, like, we want to be... They have one love song called Love of My Life or something that the audience would sing back to them. And there's a bunch of songs that the audience would know well enough to sing back for them. And so Brian May,
guitarist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Says, I want to write something that they can perform too. So he wanted, because We Will Rock You was a cappella. He wanted them to play to do the percussion for them and they would just sing over it.
Yeah.
He wanted that to be that. And Another One Bites the Dust. They're like, just riff it. Just go with it. We just want this funky beat because the bass player, Deacon, was so excited about that. And he was like, okay, like, I get to be the star of this. Now the bass player gets, because now we want to do something
bass players
funkier.
Never get any
right.
They're the hottest ones in the band, and they never get
And they never get it.
Mike, we agree. Shocked by Florida. Saddened by Florida.
Yes, we all are.
Yeah, big time.
Shocked, no. Sad,
well,
yes.
I'm sorry, but...
So
I kind of am. I mean, I really thought that there was a...
Oh, I checked my surprise tank today and I'm out.
And I really thought Beto was going to pull out Texas.
I agree. I didn't know about Georgia, but I the
and Georgia still isn't called yet, right?
No, they haven't called Georgia yet.
They haven't called Georgia yet.
I don't know.
So you go through this whole movie, and like I said, it's got more to do with the band and the actors that play the rest of the the kid from Jurassic Park,
not
Joe Manganiello
from Jurassic Park. That's the thing that's killing me.
Oh, he's also in The Social Network. He's a
killing
funny,
me. No, no,
funny
no.
Kid.
Not just that. He was in a movie that I fucking sobbed through.
Oh my god!
With Elijah Wood.
Oh, yeah.
And Lorraine Bracco.
Yeah, not the
Radio
Cure.
Flyer.
Oh, Radio Flyer. Yes. Oh my god.
Oh my god. He was the most beautiful little kid, and just such a good actor in that. Forget it. I was done. That movie did me in. Done. I say.
And he's in Social Network, too. And they say, like, they cut a lot of his part. But, like, anytime when you watch the commentary track, like, how much they enjoyed working with him. And this time he really gets to have a little bit more fun.
That's good.
Really well done. But then it gets to, and they do a little fudging with the timeline to make sure that Live Aid is the finale.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So then they have to fudge the timeline at the end and do a little dancing and singing. To make it seem like they've been apart for a while when they hadn't.
Right.
Like, they had just finished a world tour, but What's-His-Butt from Live Aid promised...
Bob Geldof. Yep.
Put them in the lineup without asking them, and they kind of were at the last minute like, oh, we look like dicks if we back out of this. Sure. But they had just finished a world tour, they were kind of tired, and they make it more of a conflict with the band than it really was. But they were like, okay, and they prepared... And they really did practice in a like a high school gym.
Okay.
And then they kind of combine everything from the like a couple of years into that one thing to give you that Live Aid performance. Mm-hmm. And they were has-beens in the U.S. They had their two albums had tanked. They hadn't gone anywhere. If you remember Live Aid, it was sold around the world.
Yeah.
Like as this big thing, Madonna's Penthouse issue had just come out. So people were, like, wondering about her. Phil Collins was going to ride the Concorde, and he was going to play in Philadelphia and London. And he was, like, the biggest star at the moment. Yep. And the Beatles couldn't really reunite, but were the three
Wasn't
of them
Wasn't that a sad
not?
World when Phil Collins was the biggest star
Actually,
in the world?
I,
the star
I know of the that moment you can, the... but I loved Phil Collins.
Oh, there are some good Phil Collins moments.
I'm still
moments.
Mocking.
Yeah.
But
that's okay.
Full the mockery. Whole thing just kind of was, like, too much to take in, and like everybody was like 15 or 20 minutes, and like Madonna just had her one funny moment of I'm not taking a fucking thing off, and she swore in front of 2 billion right. people, and right. Phil true. Collins kind of landed flat, and like nobody was all that, nobody did anything, like it just, the whole concert was like kind of lackluster and too much and overwhelming,
sure.
And then Queen came on, this band that you'd kind of written off at 85, we had all kind of been like, it's been a couple years. You've had those weird couple songs and
it's
the drag
now.
Video. Like, maybe your time has come and gone. And then they took the stage and they were like, oh, I'm in. Mm-hmm. And I remember just sitting in front of my TV and I, like, just trying to figure out, like, that Lady Gaga, Radio Gaga song, which it turns out is where she picked her name from, is from that song and
I
from
love
that
it.
Actual moment.
Okay. Did not know that.
It's from watching that moment. But I remember, like, sitting there and, like, oh, this is like the greatest song ever. Like when the audience did the clap, you're like, oh,
right.
Oh, so we all
and
do this? Like we all know
that
this
where
clap.
Kind of stadium anthems came from?
No, they had already invented stadium. They had already done We Will Rock You and all that stuff.
Oh,
like,
they had. Okay.
It was just the fact that this song that no one really, it was a hit in other countries. It really flopped here and there playing in London. But the fact that 80,000 people with no prompting did the thing from the video and did the Radio Gaga clap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just like the whole like, oh, they're back. Okay. And then they did, you know, We Are the Champions and We Are the World. And then they call it the note held around the world where he gets, like, Wembley to do that little riff with him. And you're just kind of like, and then, you know how it ends from there. But it, all of a sudden you're like, these people were amazing.
Yeah.
Like, and we, like, I never saw them in concert. I didn't know they were good, that good live. I liked their records. It was my first real introduction. I know there was a Queen live album that I had heard, but I didn't think anything of it. It was actually seeing something live and seeing like Wembley Stadium like react to it. I just remember being at home being like, these motherfuckers rule the whole world. Like, how do you do that? Like, with that stupid ass fucking song. Like, you're expecting it for We Will Rock You,
right.
But you're not expecting it on Radio Gaga. And all of a sudden, like, all his, like, talent and humanity, and you can see it in their faces, like, what are they doing? Like, and you can just, and you, I've watched the real Live Aid video now, and you can kind of see it on their faces as to, like, well, we're really good at this. We should probably keep doing this. Like, we're really good at live concerts. And then it kind of hits you, like, what's coming, that the inevitable, like, that just AIDS is out there and, like, just mm-hmm. after everybody. And it just kind of, like, oh, it was, it really did get to me, like, the loss. But, and the fact that they're not giving up. Because then it would make it seem like, well, he died, so what do you need Queen for? And you find out, like, they still tour. They have found the guy from Bad Company. They tour with Adam Lambert.
Oh.
They, like,
oh, right.
go
Adam
and do...
Lambert. That's
Adam
right.
Lambert
yeah,
comes
yeah.
in. John Deacon left after a couple years. Okay. He just decided he was retired. He'd had enough. They had reached all that they cared to. But the other two are still going, and you really get a sense of, like, it was a whole band. Mm-hmm. Like, they really had something. And, like, they make a big deal about him going solo, which wasn't, because the other guy had already gone solo and all that stuff.
They just did a several show residency at the MGM in Vegas.
Yeah.
They were here with Adam Lambert.
Oh.
Yeah, they were here last summer.
I believe so.
Yeah, early this year.
Because I looked at it, I thought, I would love to go, because Adam Lambert, I think, is amazing anyway. But I didn't realize the background was that significant. And that Rami Malek? He's amazing.
He really is. He's so good. And, you know, they get it. And I think because they go on about the fact that, and somebody's got to Google this for me, because I've been meaning to do it for the last 4 days or 3 days. Okay. Did Freddie Mercury leave most of his money to Mary?
Yeah, that was what Rami Malek said on...
okay.
Yeah.
Because it really was his best friend and the love of his life. And she had to give up on him. And she did the same thing that we were talking about with addicts. Like, it's gone too far.
Right.
I have to step away. I'm going to go get my own life.
Right.
Yep. And... you know, she's there at Live Aid.
Yeah.
Like, they came back for him because he had a huge drug problem and everything else, and he had a very bad influence in his life that was kind of, like, pushing him the wrong way.
It was
That's Cindy McCain right there in the lower limb. Yeah. That's Cindy McCain right there.
Yeah.
Okay. Next to Ducey.
Right.
Ducey.
Fucking
right.
A.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
So, I mean,
tell me his name again. The one from Radio Flyer.
Oh, Joe Manzello.
He was telling a story about how someone said, you know, you really need to play XYZ person. And he said, so they're like, you kind of look like him. And so he went and he looked at a picture. And he was like, then I went and had a conversation with my mom. Where were you? And, you know, because remarkable. And how rare that you can look at someone and be like, oh, I see it. Usually other people will see things.
Yeah.
But he was like, oh, yeah. So then I took the part and then I called my mom. You know, I mean, it was just...
Right.
But he really, there's a picture of the four of them here, and he really looks remarkably...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remarkably like him.
And they made the drummer way prettier than he is in real life.
Yeah.
But, I was just in love with the drummer. But it really, like, it hits you again, like, what a loss of a talent that was. And their friend, like, they have a big thing about, like... And I don't know if this part's true, because it was in the part where they were making it sound like he was the only one that went solo when they were all doing solo projects and all came back together. But he said, he's like, I went into a studio and I asked them to do everything and they did everything I asked and it came out badly.
Okay.
He's like, I need you guys to fight me. And he's like, I need your input. Like, it's you, your input against, you know, us working with each other and against each other that makes these songs so good.
Sure.
And such a bizarre range. Like, I the only thing I think I've gotten all... No, he had sex. He got laid. You knew he went to sex... I mean, I didn't watch him get fucked up the ass, but I knew he was having sex with men and doing drugs and going to orgies. Like,
so that just kind of came out of nowhere, no pun intended.
Oh, no, is that...
but for anyone else, you know, that's just...
You had the first part of the conversation in your head.
So did I feel the sexuality was ignored? No, I thought they were pretty... Without being... explicit, and they went with a PG-13 rating, which so you had to tone it down, but you knew he was gay. He came out to her and said he was gay. He had a very manipulative enabler, lover, partner. I mean, it didn't turn into cruising with Al Pacino. But again, they stayed at PG-13. I don't, you know, he had a friend and then he ended up going back with a guy that he had an intimate moment with. And the guy was like, no, you don't like yourself. I'm not. Okay. When you like yourself, I'll come back. Like, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
When you know who Farouk or whatever his real name it was, you know, and you know who he is. Right. So, I mean, if you want a story about Freddie Mercury getting laid, there's a movie to be had there, too. But, I mean, he had sex. He did a shit ton of drugs.
I was like, I didn't really care about that. I'm more interested in this story.
Yeah. And it really struck me as, like, I think more people are interested in Queen. And I found it way more interesting to find out how much more involved they were as songwriters. Because all four of them were inducted, even though the one guy, I think it's... I think the drummer's only written one of their hits, a later hit. Like, I feel like the other three wrote more, but all four of them were inducted into the Songwriting Hall of Fame separately, not as Queen.
Oh,
right on.
And when they did start to have arguments about you know who gets the single, who gets the B side, you know, and that's what keeps Fleetwood Mac constantly at each other's throat with knives. Mm. So Queen came up with the idea towards the end. They did it once or twice, but at the end, I think the whole last album and a couple of specific songs, all songs are written by Queen by the end. No, whoever.
Oh, no individual.
No individual gets
Queen.
Credit. Because, Stacey Abrams.
Not good.
No.
But at least it was already a
holding out for a hero.
And there's already other lawsuits against Kemp for all the suppression and bullshit. So that'll be flushed.
Yeah,
that
one may not be over yet.
Yeah.
So honestly, God, go see it. I do want to see it.
I really do. A terrific telling
of a story with a lot of good music. And at the end, you get a live performance of another song that I really, and again, because I never saw them live, like I never had the chance. But at the end, they do "Don't Stop Me Now," and it's from some concert. And it's one of those songs that I'm like, okay, that song's okay if it's on. I listen to it, but I don't really care. Mm-hmm. But watching it live, I was like so excited by all of their performance and the fact that it's just four of them. Like, there's no filler musicians. There's not 16 backup singers. Like, they're all just singing their fucking asses off. But the Bohemian Rhapsody part, it really is funny.
No.
And they used to have a little tag on all their albums that said no synthesizers were used while making this. And people thought it was an anti-disco slam. But they really wanted people to know, like, this really is just four guys that are getting all of this done. Like, these are real instruments and harps and bells and all that bullshit.
Stacking audio and doing all that.
Oh, yeah.
One of the things I either read or I heard, I forgot which one.
Swinging the microphone to get the left and right speak, because they didn't know how to do that yet.
How funny.
So they just swung the microphone.
I saw that in a preview. I thought that was kind of cool. One of the things I read or saw was that they said that most movies, people get up at the end of the credits and they leave, and they're like, not one person got up and left.
There was applause. Wow. There was applause at the end. I mean, as my friend will tell you, that I texted because I could not get out of the parking garage. Like, I couldn't stop crying. Like, I was like sobbing through the whole thing, and then I barely made it to the parking garage. Finally had to get myself together. I would have been better off driving drunk home instead of
trying to cry.
Oh my God. And I was like, I could not listen to a Queen song at the end. Like, and it really was that "Don't Stop Me Now." Like, seeing that live, I was like, God damn it, they were like, what a band. And that's what you get out of it. You don't get so much like him on his own. You get
them
as a group. And I thought that was
one of the
pretty cool.
One of the Queen connection that I had before I understood more about them was when what the hell was the name of that? What was that concert that he did? Where George Michael sang lead on "Somebody to Love."
Oh, that was the Freddie Mercury tribute.
That was a tribute. Okay, so when he did that, obviously we know why he's filling in for Freddie Mercury, because we lost Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
So what I didn't know until much later, when George told the story later, was he's singing in place of Freddie at a concert, and his lover that nobody knows about was sick and, you know, terminal in the front row of that, and he's singing, knowing who Freddie was, and knew Freddie, and he's looking at his lover who's dying, and he's like, I just had to go get through that whole damn song. Like, I had to get through that performance knowing all of that. And I went back and watched it again after I read that in an interview, heard that in an interview, and he said that, and I was like, okay, that just gives an entire new light to that performance. Because I already loved the performance, but now I realize you're fighting all kinds of emotion
to get
to this in front of the entire world watching. But I'm like, wow, that's a lot.
And they and the last album, and they made it just as he was dying, and I think it's The Show Must Go On was the last one that they, which of all the things, that they recorded, the last thing they recorded together, and they... He said, just give me a chance. Then they didn't think he could ever get through it. Like, the vocal gymnastics and that. That's the one that Celine Dion did when, you know, after Renee died.
Oh, yeah.
She came back. That was, and that was from the last album. And they said, like, just went in and blew it away. And they're like, and he never sang again. And you're like, oh.
I got one more in me and this is it.
Yeah.
I mean, just, it really is. I mean, it's a terrific story of a group of guys that really, really, really made some great music. And my thing is, as shitty as A Star Is Born is, that's getting all this praise, and everybody's dumping on this movie, but everybody at work, because I didn't get a chance to see it till Sunday, but people saw it at Thursday Night Previews, which I didn't know it was available. Everybody, Friday night at work, Saturday night at work, was just raving about it, and that people came in on Sunday morning and were like, oh my God, I'm like, I've been here, I gotta get out of here to go see it. So finally, Sunday, I just got up and I went over there, and... wow, it blew me away.
Oh,
but the combination of those two movies,
oh,
I
God.
Was just a basket case of tears.
No,
yep,
and lost.
Well, that'll be that. And then this week, with Halloween passing last week, the day
Halloween
after,
died.
Well, no, I mean, Halloween came and went.
Did
and
it then, come back on
and
the
then
day
the
of
next
the
day?
Dead?
Of course, is the Day of the Dead. And then so there was a resurgence of the movie Coco. And then there were some videos posted. Well,
oh yeah.
Of course, the clip that I get hooked on is the one where, you know, where Miguel runs into his grandma and plays the song, and she comes, you know, she remembers the song. Oh, I'm just lost. I'm sitting at my desk. Just well, actually, the damn thing came on. I was flipping through Facebook in the vehicle before I pulled out of a parking lot, and I was like that. I was like, okay, stop. Just stop. It's here. Just, you know, you feel the one. Go down. You're like, okay.
But you do the Denzel, the one tier.
Then I came home and watched the whole damn thing. Not the whole movie, but that whole video clip again. I was like... It just gets me every damn time.
Yeah.
It's just...
I've still never seen it.
Oh, my God.
I know. I know. I have that, again, I have that one on there as well.
Which leads us to our next segment. We have questions. What are you doing with your life, Bob?
Not the right things.
We have movies that are... Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, there were tears in the audience. There was... But I don't, like... I don't know if it was just my age and that, like, I seem to remember Queen for my entire life. Like, even before Donna Summer, there was Queen and... Yeah. Like, I just remember, like in Cars when the new song would come out, and I remember, like, just, I remember Bohemian Rhapsody coming out, and, like, all of my sister's friends having whole conversations about, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And not being sure.
Yeah.
Like, not really being sure, do I love it? Yeah, do I like it? Yeah. What is happening
here?
It's a
bathroom song, too, because it's, like, what, 7.5 some odd minutes?
It's a long song.
Yeah. But the,
it's a bathroom and a smoke break.
Yeah, sure it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Now, the one that I really remember, though, was Somebody to Love when that came out. Sure. And just being like, is this church? Is this...
Yep.
And that's, I mean, like, the styles are... If you think of, like, Somebody to Love next to Bohemian Rhapsody, next to We Will Rock You...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We had a
to keep you
on the spectrum.
You know what I mean? Like
with
what
our
the
record
fuck?
Player, and I know you grew up in radio, but like when I
in
was growing
radio.
Up listening to all radio. Digress. The
it wasn't a crank up Victrola for God's sake.
Stays funny. It stays funny.
It really does. Stays relevant. But when I was growing up, that was something that album. The Queen's Greatest Hits undeniably something that I'm sure that I played.
And you had
until
to have Queen's
to
Greatest Hits
because
the only thing that had Under Pressure on it.
Yeah.
So you absolutely had to have Queen's Greatest Hits.
Because if you didn't, it was like
then you were without Under Pressure.
No. And I know that I ruined that album from playing it so much that I had to go get a second album to replace it. Like it was. That fast of going through and just it played over. And
I
over
have
and
the
over.
I have the greatest hits on a CD I inherited probably from you. I have it somewhere, and I'm like, but I never listened to it. It was like, oh, I should have that in my library, and I got it. But I think I may have to put that on the old phone and listen to that a little bit.
It's really, really something
from A Day at the Races. The good old fashioned lover boy. That's the song. And plus, and I just like I finally like stopped crying long enough to listen to. It wasn't a hit. It's just it's like the ninth one song in that
right,
album.
Right, right. No, but I'm saying I that yeah. I don't remember, but I'm sure because I listened.
But
over
if you
and over
listen to A Day at the Races, like who like this is the same band.
Right. Yeah.
Like when you're on song 10 and you're like, okay, this one's an Italian. Like this is all the same band.
Right.
And I remember thinking that because at least you know Styx tried to do all that stuff, mm-hmm. but it all kind of like. Seemed to go together where Queen you were like so still all just one band all the same four minds came up right. with what the fuck style
what
is this
they, what sure. they
good drugs in the yeah. 70s I'm question saying. Though in the theater where you were talking about how the different reactions were you know blah blah
oh,
blah
oh and everybody applauded and it was amazing and full packed to the tits
my question is age ranges did you feel you were did you were you older in the theater than anybody else or were there a lot of younger or was it all over the place
oh it was all over the
was
place
it?
Oh yeah Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
because I'm wondering how the younger generations, the people who are, God help them, how they are going to get through life. The people who think Britney Spears is talented are going to go and figure
Leave
out.
Leave Britney alone.
But like, she has 87 people to create one song, and all she does is show up and sing. Yeah, and that's all she does.
Right.
So you've got four people, masterful minds, come out and produce amazing music, and they don't understand how that happens.
Yeah.
How do you? Well, where's all this stuff?
And no, and I don't need. There's parts
no,
of
that
even I don't even get. Like, how do you do that?
But I grew up with real musicians. Like my, right. fortunately, my mother and my grandparents all listened to great music back in the day. That was literally, you know, it was a piano player and a guitar and a singer, and that was it.
And the only other people that were really doing that. Were
what are you?
Styx.
What are you? What are you doing? Oh,
the Leave Britney Alone.
Leave Britney Alone guy.
By the only other band that I think like pulled off that kind of nonsense. To me, was Styx, where you'd have like Renegade and Come Sail Away, and like,
right.
you know, and then they jumped the track and
with
they did
Mr. Roboto
and all that garbage.
Oh, for
but
real.
So, I mean, Queen,
yeah,
Dennis
DeYoung
kind
yeah.
of got, you know, a little off.
Queen went its own way. Like, that radio, but now I think that Radio Gaga song is kind of prescient. You know what I mean?
What's
like,
the song that he did? Was it Radio Gaga where he's in drag vacuuming
no,
a house?
No, that's some.
That was a video on MTV.
Some kind of. Yeah, it was banned. Yeah, it's what got, that's when they stopped touring America. They got they got a big backlash off of the, all of them, and they're not really in drag. I mean, Freddie Mercury's got a microphone and hairy arm, mustache.
Yeah, right.
The do you guys follow Middle Age Riot on Facebook at all? You need
Negative.
To go to it. And their last thing that they just put up was I love the smell of indictments in the morning. They have it. It's
I thought this
just,
was going to be Queen related. I'm
no,
terribly
I'm
sorry.
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry.
To answer your question, I want to break free.
I want to break free. Yeah.
Okay.
Carry on.
I'm sorry. Erin just sent me something. She's like, if you guys don't follow it yet, do this. Because 305 uh-huh. lost. For sure.
Right.
It's down.
Yeah.
So there's that win is great. If you're a member of the Trump administration, get a lawyer. If you're a lawyer for the Trump administration,
get a lawyer.
Get a lawyer. Yeah.
Democrats are in the House.
Oh, here's the question I had. All of this, and correct me if I'm wrong and inform me. All of this, none of it actually goes into place until January 1, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
20-something.
No. January 2nd or 3rd.
Is it?
The
okay.
Senate goes
That's
in.
That's only presidential?
The president goes in after the new Senate goes in. So
okay.
The mm-hmm. I think it's the second or third.
Jenny, it's called Middle Age Riot.
So the
at Middle Age Riot,
and that's a really good point because from here to now, there's lots of fuckery that they
oh,
are
that's exactly
do.
What I'm yeah. expecting.
That they are going to do
it's
in this
exactly what I'm.
It's on Facebook
this next
and
month and a half or so is going to be
yeah.
Twitter
crazy bullshit from them.
Oh yeah,
hold on to your heart pills because they're going to try and take everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what
oh,
about the
me.
Idea of trying to get This birthright thing.
Oh, like that's
so that's bullshit.
That's
is absolutely bullshit.
That's just him
correct?
Riling his base. That's
yeah,
nothing.
Right.
There's nothing
okay.
to that.
To
yeah.
change that, you have to get number one Congress to pass it, and then you have to ratify it by 2/3 of the state
okay.
legislatures.
Yeah.
Like that's okay. not a thing yeah. that's going to happen.
That's a constitutional right. amendment. You can't just.
My mom says that's her boyfriend.
Adam Schiff.
Oh,
Adam
Schiff.
Adam Schiff.
You know what I love about Adam Schiff? I know that I said it on this show one time several months ago. He was walking through the halls of somewhere, and something had just gone down, and he got broadsided by a bunch of reporters,
uh-huh.
and he was just the most calm,
yeah.
even keel. Right. There's nothing that flusters him. Like, I bet he was a damn good lawyer when he was practicing. Sure. But I like Adam Schiff. Every time I see him, like, he just gives me some calm serenity.
I think that's what
serenity now.
Yeah.
Oh, there's Nancy. Yeah.
Hey,
hi,
Nancy.
Pelosi.
Hey, Nancy.
What's she yammering about?
Well, she just became Speaker of the House again.
Maybe.
Oh, so, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Well, we what think
they have to vote for her. The caucus has to vote
her
for
back in.
They will.
But they, it was said, they asked somebody the other day, and they're like, I don't see any reason why not. Like, she's done a great job. She's a great political person. She was on Colbert.
We've counted our chickens before, people.
Right.
Settle down.
I mean, it really doesn't matter who they go with, but as their top fundraiser, and she always can lord over them, I got the votes for Obamacare.
Obamacare, yeah.
Like, while you guys were fucking around... Yeah. I got Obamacare passed, right. So I mean, it cost us the House back then.
Yeah. I'm not saying she's not a brilliant legislator.
And Obamacare is what a lot of the Republicans ran on this time because they were all promising all of the pre-existing
that they weren't
going to
touch it. Yeah,
no, but they're all still part of the lawsuit
to get
rid of it. Yeah, totally. Yeah,
right.
My gosh. All right, so what else in entertainment?
So
anything
that's
else?
It. And I know I just kind of explained the whole movie, but really, go enjoy it. I mean, if you really want to go watch him have sex, I guess you have to go see a different movie.
Well,
but they make it very clear that he's gay, and probably not the happiest of gays. You know what I mean? But look at Elton John. It took him Elton John's got a movie out called Rocket Man. A bio of Elton John is coming out. So if you want to see a tortured person who had... He got married to a woman in the 80s. Like that.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
That went all kinds of fucking wrong.
Dramatic.
And he was dressed more like a woman than she was, I
think. I don't remember that.
He married a woman in the 80s during his denial. In the 80s. Like years after 91 Carat.
During Stand.
I'm Still Standing, yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
How the hell did I miss that?
Yeah. Right, so... I
think you were a little busy with, you know...
So sexuality had its...
Hey at the time yourself.
We're busy. We're busy. I don't know.
Yeah, grudge fucking somebody.
Wow, we're going to bring that back up.
Also still funny.
Still relevant.
Just funny. Just said. Yeah,
so Nunes, we got to find out about this race. Let's find out.
Yep.
Yeah. What are we calling in California? What's
Jesus
going on
Christ.
In California?
000.
Son of a bitch.
37 minutes.
California, get your shits together.
Seriously.
Oh, no. Rachel said last night, we won't know until December shit in California because they take forever to count. They just count it slow and steady.
God damn it, California.
That's the way they do it. I don't know why it's the way they do it, but they do it.
California's dumb.
Kat?
What?
You got two things? You got anything?
I don't.
You don't?
I don't.
Well,
I got nothing.
All right. Anybody else got anything you want to yammer about? Otherwise, I'm going to show a video that I thought was funny this week that I forgot to be in my obsession.
I like videos. I like cheese.
Well, did anybody else watch the video that I posted that I like?
Nope.
About the contouring.
Oh my god, it's one of the funniest. I put that on my Facebook page.
I watched it twice. It was so funny.
She is hysterical.
And that line, with that line, it closed the end. What a fucking disguise.
Yeah,
I just love it. Have you watched it?
It is hysterical.
Are we about to? Are we spoiling it? Is that what's happening?
Yeah. No, I had. Like I said, I
watched
this
one thing on your page.
She is.
It's very funny. So anyway, I was going to show this, then we'll close out, and then we can watch the rest of whatever NBC is going to show. How about that?
I like it.
All right, this is a video that I found on Facebook earlier this week. It's about a girl doing contour. Wait, is this the right one?
Oh, I did not get to this
one. I'm contouring.
Hey, wait a minute. Is this? Yeah, this is the right one. I think it is.
We're going to find out.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Well, hang on a minute. Before I do that, I just realized that doesn't look the same. It's not the same background as there was before. Hang on a minute. Let me.
She's made two videos.
Oh, there it is. That's the
wait
one.
Wait a minute. Get my cup.
I just wanted to throw out real quick that June Squibb is going to be going back to Broadway.
Who's June Squibb?
I don't know.
97,000-year-old woman?
Yeah, in Waitress.
Well.
Oh, yeah, there's a 97,000-year-old woman in that.
Yeah. So I just wanted to throw that out.
All right. Well, I found it. Here
There's
we go.
Old lady
this
in that
entertainment.
Oh no, it's an old man.
It's an old man.
Yeah, she's playing the old man.
Oh, how funny!
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, that's
all right,
nice
I'm
twist.
Into that.
Woman playing a man, playing a
playing
woman.
It's delightful.
I like
it.
All right, here's the video that I told you I found over this week, and I just thought it was very funny.
What can I say? I'm a fountain of wisdom. More you say? Forgot contouring, you say? Get your goddamn teeth fixed, you snaggletooth ass bitch. That one hurt my feelings a little bit, I'm not going to lie. I'm too poor for dental work, but I'm not too poor to contour. Makeup is for women who want husbands. Contouring is for women who want to leech the souls of their dead lovers and collect the inheritance of their ex-boyfriends who disappeared under mysterious circumstances. If men find out that we can rearrange the bones of our face, we're finished. We might as well pack our bags and go to the nunnery. There will be nothing left for us here. The key to a good contour is to make it look as natural as possible. Like I just stepped out of the shower. Perhaps in a better world, women wouldn't feel like they had to contour, seeing as it has nothing to do with experimentation or artistry, since it's simply for the dick, we have to do it. I don't know if you're supposed to put your contour on before the rest of your makeup or after the rest of your makeup, but it doesn't matter, because men are stupid. So long as you look like a newborn baby, they are willing to mate with you. I'm poor, so I have this contour palette and this contour stick. I regret buying both. I must warn you, the transition from beginning to end might be startling. First things first, check your flesh. As you can see here, I have no flesh. Contouring is a very dangerous game. Once, a man walked in on me while I was contouring. I had to pretend I was schizophrenic so he'd think that I was playing in cat shit and he'd leave me alone. It was a sad day. If the men find out we can shapeshift, they're going to tell the church. Eliminate the nose. You can pretend that you have no nostrils. Men will be bewitched and hand over their wallets. Men don't like nostrils. You want to look like a pterodactyl. Men love pterodactyls. Beautiful women don't have foreheads. Just darken it up. Fucking nostril! If you have too big of a brain, it means you have ugly things like opinions and thoughts of your own. Equality? Not for us. Equal pay? I don't think so. Fucking nostrils. Rich people don't need to breathe. Who needs air when I have another man's money? Look at me. I'm turning into a completely different person. And a cheekbone that can cut through glass. Fight for his honor. Lady gladiators fight like giraffes, scamming these poor, fragile men. Next thing you know, we'll be doing things like wearing deodorants and bras. Ugh. Gotta blend in that neck. Now we will have a look. I look like Nazanin Kavari. I look like Rihanna. Who wants to give me their money? Where's my nose? I don't know. Does she have nostrils? No, she doesn't. She's above her peers. Call me Rihanna! She doesn't need oxygen. I also bought this at the store because I saw a white woman use it on YouTube and we're blending. It is a sponge. Drenched with the power of Satan. Oh. Ready to take some fucking souls and ruin some goddamn lives! Angles? Blending? Betrayal. I always start sweating. And we're blending. I look like a completely different person. Oh my god. Front page news! Oh my god. I have shapeshifted. I don't even know who I am anymore. Who are you? Men will die tonight. Blah. Face of a stranger. Am I Beyonce? Unrecognizable. What a fucking disguise this is. Wow. Wow. Am I Megan Fox? No one knows. Women are dangerous creatures. Here I come, world! Dangerous bamboozling. Deceiver! Give me your wallet. When will my reflection show?
I thought that was so funny.
Fantastic.
What a brilliant disguise this is!
Good God.
We do it for the dick.
Oh my gosh. I'd never seen this girl before. Apparently, she has over 400 videos, according to Amina.
You can subscribe to her YouTube channel.
I would happily watch a lot of them.
Oh my God.
Jill Kimmel put that on a year ago or better. And I watched that and thought, well, I don't think I'm going to. And done. I was done. I put that on my page and had that, and people were losing it. It was
golly.
Watching that.
It's very funny.
Because it's certainly not something that I would typically. But Jill Kimmel had that on there, and I thought, I'll watch it. Was that funny?
Very funny.
She is just a very, she's very, very fucking.
I saw a white woman with it.
This made blood Satan.
And we blend.
Fucking nostrils.
Rich people don't need air.
We have another man's money.
Heaven sakes alive. Well, here we have done it again, ladies. Thank you,
Doug.
You're
welcome.
We've done it again. Yeah. Another election under our belts. This one wasn't as bad as
seems
the one.
Seems to be less crying. Less crying is happening.
Lots of blue with projected winners. We're not mad.
We took the House. That's a win. I'll
Who's
take
house?
It.
Democrats in the House.
Arizona and Florida just can't get their shit
together.
Yeah, you fucking morons. Wait a minute.
Well, as we wrap up tonight's show, let's leave you with this parting thought. We will see you next Tuesday!
It's enough for today. Spicy's gonna go bye-bye right now. I need a big boy nap.